Chapter 3. The Turning Point. Nature's Answer to Life's Extremes. The Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu once said, "If you do not change direction, you may end up where you are heading." In 2008, Tom Stoppard, the renowned Czech-born British playwright, was feeling our time of extremes in a big way. For Stoppard, the sense that so many big things were happening in our world all at once left him overwhelmed and confused, feelings that led him to a self-diagnosed case of writer's block. During an interview with the Reuters news agency, the creator of such classic plays as The Coast of Utopia and Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead confessed that he felt so overcome by global extremes that he didn't know which direction he should take his work. Quote, "So much is in the foreground now," he said, unquote. "Huge, important subjects that you kind of goggle at." Stoppard candidly described his dilemma in the interview, saying, quote, "Shall I do global warming or shall I do Iraq? Maybe I'll do Afghanistan, and nothing gets written," end of quote, he confessed. He eventually overcame his writer's block and went on to create more innovative plays, such as Dark Side, written to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Pink Floyd's seminal album, The Dark Side of the Moon. Well, Stoppard is not alone in his sense of feeling overwhelmed. I'm sharing his story as an example of what many people say they're feeling nowadays. They're stunned by so many big events happening all at once. Speaking with conference participants throughout the world, people have shared with me a similar sense of helplessness and hopelessness, as well as awe at how fast their lives and the world are shifting. It's certainly easy to feel overwhelmed by the magnitude of change in our world. It's also hard to see how anything we do as individuals could possibly make a difference to the world. While I have no doubt that it is possible for one person to bring big change to the world in a positive way, I also know that it often takes a lifetime or even the sacrifice of a life to do so. From Mother Teresa to Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, and John Lennon, we've witnessed poignant examples of how one person in the limelight of the world stage can open the door of possibility, vision, and imagination for others. What may not be so obvious, however, is what had to happen before these people could be such powerful beacons of possibility. Before they were able to shine their messages to the world, they first had to be honest with themselves about their dreams and the choices they would make to bring those dreams to life. The speed of change. Whether we're feeling the impact of global warming upon our weekly grocery bill or the burden of global debt in the form of the loss of jobs in our community, it's important to be honest with ourselves about what's realistic for our lives and what's not. People tell me all the time that they want to change the world, but the question is how? Realistically, what can we do as individuals in the face of so many simultaneous extremes? How can we turn our time of crisis into a time of transformation? And how do we share our personal transformation with our communities and our loved ones? This is where being honest with ourselves comes in. There are two facts I would like for you to consider. Fact number one, honestly, it's unlikely that the world will change in the time it takes to listen to this audiobook. Fact number two, honestly, the way you respond to the world can definitely change in the time that it takes to listen to this audiobook. There's a third fact that makes facts one and two true. It's a fact based in the science of the natural world and how nature adapts to change. So fact number three is that nature always makes room for new possibilities and positive change. When it comes to this third fact, our time of extremes is no exception. Many experts and media pundits view the converging crises in the world as inevitable stepping stones, tracing a one-way path to irreversible decline and destruction. And while scientists and media commentators are very good at predicting such outcomes, most experts are missing out on the good news that justifies the title of this book. There's a time in any crisis when it can lead to positive transformation, when simply surviving can become joyous thriving. In our lives, that time is called the turning point. In our world, that time is now. In other words, although it appears that we're on a collision course with the effects of climate change, peak oil, and peak debt, just as the UN and others suggest. These and other crises can be avoided if we act now. The question is, will we embrace the turning points that lead to the greatest transformation of living and thinking the world has ever seen? The facts suggest that we're about to find out. Tipping points, small triggers of big change. There are times in life when the principles underlying things that seem small and insignificant can make a big difference and lead to big change. A boiling pot of water on the kitchen stove is a perfect example of what I mean here. While we've all seen water boil, we may not have realized precisely what we were seeing as it happened. And if we didn't realize what we were watching on the stovetop, then we're probably missing one of nature's most powerful agents of change when it comes to our lives as well. Here's how it works. When we place the pot of water on the burner, the water doesn't boil instantly. Instead, it's a process. What we see at first is a change so slight that it may even look like nothing's happening. So we watch and we wait. Degree by degree, the water gets warmer. Our thermometer reads 195 degrees Fahrenheit, then 200 degrees, then 207 degrees. At precisely 211 degrees Fahrenheit, something extraordinary begins to happen. While the water still looks pretty much like it did when we turned on the heat, there's something happening on a subtle level. If we look closely, we see that a few small bubbles have formed on the inside of the pot. With the rise of just one more degree, however, from 211 to 212 degrees Fahrenheit, we see a big change. All of a sudden, bubbles appear everywhere in the pot and the water erupts into full-on chaos. Now our water is really boiling, and we can begin cooking our rice or pasta, steeping our tea, or doing whatever it was that led us to boil the water to begin with. The key here is that a small difference was all it took to push the water to the boiling point. Although the lower temperatures were necessary steps to get to that point, it was only when the temperature bumped up that one last small amount that the conditions in the water changed and the water began to boil. That one last degree is the reason I'm describing the process. It's called the tipping point, and it changes everything. While the term tipping point has been around for a long time in mathematics and some other circles, it suddenly burst into our everyday vocabulary in the year 2000 following the publication of Malcolm Gladwell's book of the same name, The Tipping Point. The Tipping Point book is a powerful exploration of what triggers change in society and how those changes can ultimately shift our everyday world. Gladwell defines a tipping point as, quote, the moment of critical mass, the threshold, the boiling point, end of quote. Tipping points are often used to describe the point of no return, when evolving conditions reach a place or a time that they no longer support the status quo. It's at this point that the original condition no longer exists and a new one appears. This is precisely what happened in our example of the boiling water. At 212 degrees, the molecules of the water began to behave in a new way that reflected the new conditions. For the purposes of this book, a tipping point can be thought of as the culmination of conditions that create a point of no return. And when we talk about a point of no return, it's generally not in a good way.